Please take your Bible this morning. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to stand, please, as we honor the reading of God's Word. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 7 and read down to the end of the chapter. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse number 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wickedness of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The title of my message this morning is What the Bible Says About Global Warming. Brother Ben Brooks, would you pray for this message, and we'll all be seated.
Amen.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, as you know, one of the hot topics of the day is global warming, no pun intended. I went over some of his head. There is much debate among scientists and those who are considered an authority of meteorological and climate studies as to the validity of global warming. Yeah, some believe that the earth is progressively getting warmer. And some scientists say that it's all a hoax, that we just happen to be living during a period of time when the average temperature is higher than normal. I've heard folks say that according to historical data, the earth goes through cycles and periods when the earth is warmer or colder, and it could last decades or centuries or just years. And then some agree to global warming, but they disagree as to the cause. Some say it's factories, and some say, well, it's the smog, and some say it's automobile pollution, and some say it's nuclear waste, and some say it's aerosol cans, and some say it's cutting down forests, and some say it's burning fossil fuels, and I say it's rap music. That's probably what it is, if it's... But most Christians are not aware that the Bible speaks very specifically about global warming. So I want us to see the truth from our scripture about global warming and what we as Christians ought to do about it. First of all, I want you to see this morning. I'm going to give you some stuff, and when I get to my last point, I'm going to make the practical application of why this is important, okay? Not so you can get your political view right. Could care less about that. There's something spiritual I want to get across to you here this morning. Verses 7 through 12, you'll read that global warming is an undisputed fact. Global warming is an undisputed fact, but it's not the way Al Gore and the liberals think. The heavens and the earth, which are now, the Bible says, are reserved to be burned up by fire. That's what that Bible says, verse number 7. The heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved. What are they reserved for? Fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It's going to be burned up. This whole earth is going to be burned up because of sinful men. We've ruined it. And when God burns this thing up, it won't have anything to do with carbon monoxide emissions or a hole in the ozone layer. It'll have nothing to do with that. And it isn't a gradual event. Well, if we don't stop doing this, this is going to happen. Listen, I don't care what you do. You're not saving the planet. You shouldn't want to save the planet. We've ruined the planet. Now, I'll tell you here a little bit later. It don't mean that you should abuse it. Quit trying to save it. And I want you to notice how the Bible describes the events. Notice the words that you see in verse number 10. It says, fervent heat, burned up, it says in verse number 10. Verse number 11 is going to be dissolved. Verse number 12 is going to melt with fervent heat. Now, is that descriptive enough for you? You reckon you can figure out what God's trying to tell you? Burn it up, melt it, dissolve it, fervent heat. He's going to get rid of it. And I want you to notice that the burning up of the world is connected to the day of the Lord, verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, I want you to remember when you get in 1st and 2nd Peter, and what he's talking about here, it's the day of the Lord. He's talking about the second advent and some things that go on after that. I believe that much of the information that's contained here that we find in 1st and 2nd Peter sometimes will have some tribulation application to it, have day of the Lord application to it. So you have to be careful doctrinally when you're reading Paul's stuff and you're reading Peter's stuff. But there's nothing here to get confused about. Now, when I read after and study after Dr. Ruttman, he has the whole thing burning up basically after the millennial, right before you go into eternity. Now, if you ever looked at Clarence Larkin's chart, he's got a twofold thing going on. He's got it burning up at the second advent and being God does this in preparation for the millennium. And then after you get through with the white throne judgment and the new heavens and new earth and new Jerusalem comes down, it's like a twofold process if you've ever looked at his chart. Ever how you want to stack it up, there's coming a day, brother and sister, where God's going to burn this thing up. It's leaving here. Now, again, I'm not suggesting that you not take care of what God gives you. You ought to take care of it. Listen, if you cut down some trees, you ain't got to be a rocket scientist to figure out. You ought to plant some more. Don't throw your McDonald's bag out the window. Don't go down there and dump your old wash machine in the river. I mean, I'm telling you stuff that people do back home. There's a place where people jump off the bridge and swim, and they say, don't you dive in there. There's wash machines and dryers and refrigerators and all at the back and bottom of that swimming hole. Because that's what they do down there where I'm from. They just say, I'm tired of it. I'll just dump it off here. But looks at you, some of you do it too. Listen, folks. Don't try to save the planet because God doesn't want the planet saved. I've just read to you what his perfect will is for this planet. He wants to burn it up. And he's going to. He promised that he would never flood the earth again. This time, He is a consuming fire, the Bible says. That's why he's able to burn people in hell. People have this problem. Well, your man's a body, and how can you have a... Listen, man, you're not even thinking right. You're a soul that goes into the hell. And the hell fire that you get is from a consuming fire of God. It's a supernatural fire that comes off him. That's why your soul don't burn up. And that's why it's a fire like you cannot understand. He's a consuming fire, and he's going to burn the earth up. Number two, just got 3 points this morning, but my last point is the main one I want to focus on. Number two, global warming is actually a gracious act of God. And you read that in verses 12 and 13. Now, I want you to understand that we're looking for the rapture, okay? We are not looking for the second advent, the context of 1 Peter. And in this passage is the second advent. We're not looking for the second advent. I'm not going to be here during the tribulation period. I'm not looking for the day of the Lord. I'm looking for the day of Christ. I'm going to be raptured out of here, and then we're going to stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. But listen, you can make application out of this, and this is something you need to understand as we get especially to our final point here this morning. But God is going to give us new heavens that have not been tainted by our rockets, that have not been tainted by our satellites, and has not been tainted by the sons of God's little spaceships floating around up there. He is going to give us a new earth that isn't cursed, because he is a gracious, loving, merciful, kind God. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 15 says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's how it all ends. There after the millennium, you have the great white throne judgment. And what is the next chapter that immediately starts after that? Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. You're going to fix it to get ready to go into eternity. "And I saw a new heaven," the Bible says, "and a new earth," thank God. "For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." We're going to get new heavens, a new earth, and hallelujah, a new city. I have never in my life wanted to live but in one city. And that's the New Jerusalem. I don't care anything about a city. Matter of fact, my country boy thinking is, "God, why you got to make the New Jerusalem? Why can't you make it a new country or a new hunting lease or something? I don't know." No, God said it's going to be a new city. But see, I'm thinking of cities like Birmingham and Memphis and Atlanta. And that's why I say, "God, I don't want to live in a city with all these people." But I'm living with perfect people, see. And I'm not living in a city like Birmingham, Atlanta, and Memphis, thank God. I'll be living in the New Jerusalem. So you know what's going to happen? It's a very gracious act of God that one day he's going to say, "Enough is enough. Y'all have ruined all of it with your sin and with your wickedness. There's nothing here to spare. There's nothing here to try to save. It's all just a big pile of garbage to me." And God says, "One day I'm going to burn the whole thing up." What does that include, Pastor? Everything. Everything. Paul's back 40. That old truck you've been keeping in the family for 50 years. All that money in your banking account. This beautiful sanctuary. This beautiful, God's going to burn it up, man. He's going to turn this thing into ashes. Even the chandeliers. Yeah, especially the chandeliers. You mean this nice piano? This is the nicest piano I've ever pastored. I pastored this piano. That's a sharp piano, ain't it? It's gone too. Sorry, Mark. Yeah. A lot of people do. All this is going to burn up. You know what I got at home? I got a bunch of guns, and my daddy's got a gun safe down there. and I've got guns in that gun safe of his, and went past through the family. Some of them very old Belgian made Brownings and all kind of guns that my family wouldn't sell. They'd rather starve than sell those guns. You know what God's going to do with them guns? He's going to burn them up. They don't go. Your banking account, all that money you want to leave these punk youngins, ain't going to do nothing with it but waste it. He's going to burn it up. All the material, everything that you're working so hard for, guess what God thinks about it? It's nothing but more than a burning pile of leaves to him. He's going to burn it up. Do you know what God thinks about what you think is important? So important that you polish it, and dust it, and bathe it, and put more money into it, and check on it, and pamper it. You know what God thinks about it? I'm going to burn it up. Going to burn it up. Amen. He understands. The problem is some of you older folks don't. Because if you understand, I'm fixing to get to my final point, which is the main point here, you wouldn't live like you do. You see, now I'm fixing to get to the preaching side of it. All of you right here, yeah, man, Al Gore, he's a liberal, he's crazy, they don't know what they're talking about. Yeah, God says it ain't going to be from aerosol cans and all that kind of baloney. God's going to burn it up, amen. God's going to burn this earth up. And hallelujah, we're going to get a new Jerusalem and a new heavens and a new earth. Why don't you live like it? Why don't you live like it? See, everybody's always fine when I'm giving the information. I want to learn. I want to learn. I want to learn. Why don't you want to live? What I'm fixing to give you is the most important part for us, because that thing's talking about the second advent. That thing's talking about something that's going to happen after we're out of here. That thing's not going to affect us one way or the other. I tell you how it's going to affect us is you are living for a bunch of mess that's not going to make it past the grave. Some of you just lost loved ones. And when you put that loved one in the casket, they left here. And you know what made it on that other side? Listen to me now. Listen, I'm jumping a little ahead of myself, but I'm going to tell you. Not their body, not their clothes, not what you put in that coffin. When they make it to the other side, it was their eternal soul and whatever eternal works they did, and that's what they'll be living with forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And some of you can't get heavenly-minded because you're too earthly-minded. And you know what God said about all this stuff that you're so consumed with right now that you can't get plugged into the things of God? I'm going to burn it up. It's trash. My final point here this morning is global warming is a truth that should motivate us not to live for a doomed world. Global warming is a truth that should motivate us not to live for a doom and gloom world. Since it's all going to be burned up, you ought to focus on living holy and godly instead of living for pleasure in a doomed world where everything is going to be burned up. Notice some things it says there in verse number 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, be diligent, be diligent. He said, now look, since you look for such things, since I've warned you, since I've told you that God's going to burn the whole thing up, this is how you react to it. So you don't just take it in. I'm tired of preaching where people just take it in intellectually. You need to take it in your heart. It needs to change it. He said, look, I gave you this information because it ought to change the way you live. I told you God's going to burn it all up, so you don't put it all in on stuff that's going to be burned up. You put it up there. That's what he tells me. He says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such thing, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. You need to keep yourself unspotted from this world. You need to live a blameless life because that's what you're going to be sending ahead. Not all this junk God's going to burn up. Verse number 15. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to his wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So on and so on and so on. Notice verse number 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before. He says, you know it. I've told you. Notice what he says. Beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfast. You know what he told you? He said, don't get involved with the wicked that are consumed with this stuff. And he said, if you don't keep this in mind, listen, he said, if you don't keep this in mind that I'm going to burn all this mess up, it's going to cause you to fall from your steadfastness. You're not going to remain steadfast. You're not going to continue going on and doing that which I've called you to do because you're too worried about the world. You're too worried about the things contained in the world. But what does he say? But grow. Grow in grace, grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, don't store it up for down here. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Now, the Bible is very clear about the world. When you see the word world in your Bible, or you talk about the planet, which is one meaning of it, there's basically three meanings of the word world in your Bible. Sometimes when you see the word world, it's talking about the people. And you ought to love the people and be good to the people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's not talking about the planet. He's talking about the people. And sometimes you see the word world or it's talking about the actual planet. And then sometimes when he mentions the word world, it's talking about the world system. Now the world system is what has ruined the actual planet. And that's why the world system and the world is going to be burned up together. Because they're connected to one another. And do you know what the Bible does? Listen to me, folks. The Bible makes it very clear that you are not to have a great interest in this world and you are not to have a great interest in the things of this world. And if you do, there's something wrong with you spiritually. That is not my opinion. Let me give it to you a couple of times here just for good measures. James chapter 4, verse number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You love the world, do you? Don't burn it up. Don't burn it up. I want to keep it. I want to keep it. I want to store it all up. I want to have it. God says you're his enemy. I didn't write that. He wrote that. He said that. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world. You don't love the world. You don't love the planet. You don't love the system. You love the people. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, you know what he says? Listen to me. The love of the Father is not in him. He said, don't you dare say you love God if you love this world. That's what Christ said. That's what God said. I didn't say that. And you know what's going to happen? I'm telling you. All your trophies, all your clothing, all your money, all your pictures, all your selfies, thank God. I saw this headstone a few years back when I was collecting some information because I preached a message entitled Tales from the Tombstones. God gave me a message about different tombstones across the world in this country with different sayings on it. One of those tombstones had the person's name on there when they died and said this. Said, will you please get someone to deactivate my Facebook account? But they're being silly, but I'm thinking, yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. You're gone and you're worried about, man, when I'm dead and gone, I'm still worried about what's going on over here with my Facebook account. Can I help you this morning as we get into the conclusion and conclude and go on to the house? Do you believe I want to help you? Some of you ain't going to have a used dip of snuff at the judgment seat of Christ. You're not. You know why? You got it all down here. You got it all down here. I never preach on tithing. I'm not going to. This church gives pretty good. This church always taking care of the needs. Matter of fact, I don't believe that tithing is a New Testament teaching that belongs in the church age. It doesn't teach tithing in the church age. If you do, you can help yourself to be wrong. I don't care. It teaches something that a man ought to give as he's prospered. And he gives it cheerfully. That's your Pauline teaching on tithing. That's why you don't never hear me say anything about tithing. But you know what? You know what? Some of you have spending all your money on things down here that are going to be burned up. Why don't you spend some of your money on something up there that's going to last forever? Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, and I'm not a mathematician. I'm not an investor. I haven't taken any financial courses like Brother Sonny. But in my country, boy, logic, I know this. Why do I want to invest? I don't care if it's money. I don't care if it's time. I don't care if it's talents, whatever. Why do I want to invest in something that's going to give me a yield? It's going to give me a yield 50, 60, 70. If I'm extremely, extremely blessed and get on Willard Scott, which Willard Scott's dead now too, but 100 years. Some people make it to 110, 115. Why would I want to invest in something that at the max is going to yield me something for 115 years when I could invest in something that's going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever? Now, all you people that like to crunch numbers and good with math, you think about that. Do you know what some of you are doing that like math and you like to crunch numbers? I tell you what you're doing. You're putting it all in, all snake eyes, you know. You're putting it all in right now, brother. Putting it all in right now, all in right now. And you have it just for a very temporary time, and you're going to be bankrupt for eternity. You're too worldly minded. I'll say one more thing. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm wanting to help you. But some of you in this church, you know what you're guilty of? You know so much Bible. You know so much more Bible than the average Christian. But you'd rather hear the doctrinal truths about the earth burning up than you actually change the way you live in light of the fact that the earth is going to be burned up. And God may just be more pleased with the NIV toter down the road that will at least respond to what he knows than in a bunch of Christians that knows a lot but have no interest in living it. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, our Savior said it best. He said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know what he said? He said, if you're going to lay something up there, brother, you better lay it up there. Don't lay it down here. Why? I told you why. It's for naught. It's going to be burned up. In this passage we just read this morning, our Lord warned us and he instructed us and encouraged us. The one that I just read to you, he warned you. He said, don't lay it up down here. Lay it up there. He instructs you. He says, put it up there. And then he encourages you in this passage. He says, you can have some eternal treasures. How many of you want eternal treasures? Well, listen, if you want eternal treasures, then you got to quit focusing on the temporal treasures. You ain't going to have both. One of the saddest statements I've ever had to say or ever heard or somebody's ever said to me is this: you cannot have your cake and eat it too. That breaks my heart because I so desperately want to eat my cake and have it too. You know what my favorite food is, don't you? It's cake. I mean, you don't get to name Heavy Bishop by your favorite food being spinach. They asked that comedian one time, oh, what's his name? With the glasses, Price is Right. Drew Carey. They said, Drew Carey, what do you like on your salad? He said, pie. Amen. I understand that. I really do. But you don't know what the sad truth is. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You are not going to have it down here and up there. You're going to have to decide where you're going to sacrifice, okay? The early church knew. It's us Laodiceans that don't know. If it cannot be sent ahead, listen, if it cannot be sent ahead, I'm telling you one more time, we're closing her down. It's going to be burned up. Some of you, you're going to lose reward and inheritance over burnt trash. We are leaving here with our soul, like I said before, and our spiritual works, and that's all. Global warming is a certified fact. And you and I are not going to stop it, and the government's not going to stop it, and nobody else. And we shouldn't want to stop it, church. We shouldn't invest in the world that God says is nothing more than vile garbage. Amen? And it's so bad. He says, it's so bad, I'm going to have to burn it up, and I'm going to have to give you a new one. God, help us to love the people of this world. But God, help us to hate this world system. Ever had